I wanted to think about the last part of verse 36, where Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Don't be afraid, just believe. Be not afraid, only believe. And fear is a thing that no one is a stranger to. Many of us perhaps have had times when we were afraid. Many of us had times when we were really afraid. And there are different kinds of fear. Some are reasonable, some are very unreasonable. And we know that people sometimes have phobias, various phobias. We know hydrophobia is associated with the rabies, and it's a fear of water. And there's, you know, like nyclophobia, it's a fear of darkness. Xenophobia, fear of strangers. Claustrophobia, that's when I sort of, that gets me a bit. I don't like enclosed spaces. And but you know, nyclophobia, that's a fear of darkness. And there's a story of a little girl and her mother who were settling down for the night, and it was dark, and they were both a little bit afraid, especially the little girl. And apparently the mother was a bit fearful as well. I'm not quite sure why. But the little girl looked out and she said to her mum, "Is the moon god's light, mum?" And her mum said, "Yes, the moon is god's light." And she said, "Does God sleep?" "No," she said, "God doesn't sleep. He never slumbers or sleeps." And then the little girl said, "Well, if God never sleeps, why do we need to be awake?" And that's the simple faith of a child, knowing that God was in control. Be not afraid, only believe. This was a very poignant case, a ruler of a synagogue. So this was a very influential man, a religious leader among the Jews. And he came to Jesus about his daughter who was very sick. Influential, like we said, in religious matters. And coming to Jesus, which could have been a little bit difficult for him, because in general, the religious leaders in the community did not have much regard for Jesus. They regarded him with contempt and suspicion. And we see that it could well have had difficult repercussions for Jairus. But he was desperate. And he knew this, that Jesus could help him. Some people need help, and they need help badly. But they don't want to come to Jesus for it, because there's too many around them that have a contempt for Jesus, and they think badly of Jesus. And it might reflect badly on them if they go to Jesus. But desperation can certainly make a person come to Christ. Some people had discouraged the man and told them, "Look, basically, don't waste the Lord's time. Don't waste time seeking help from the Lord." It was too late. The child was dead, but he came to Jesus, and Jesus assured him, and that's what I want to look at tonight, the assurance of Christ. "Be not afraid, only believe." And he received a miraculous blessing. And like I said, I want to focus on these reassuring, encouraging words that Christ gave the man. The word of God instructs us, and it blesses us. And sometimes God asks us to do something. And he asks two things, like we said, don't be afraid and believe. Two things. Now, the situation was beyond desperate, and the man was beyond desperate. So the command to not be afraid and only believe was not an easy thing to do, when natural reason, circumstances, and the devil are screaming the exact opposite. But in obeying the Lord, it would bring a wonderful blessing to Jairus and his family. And of course, this also not only applies to the miraculous raising of Jairus' daughter, but it also applies to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It applies to salvation. Don't be afraid to come to Jesus. And don't be afraid to believe. Only believe. Jairus had believed Jesus could heal his daughter. He had come imploring the Lord. He had just seen the result of what believing in Jesus could do. Or rather, what Jesus could do through the faith of the people. And we know when Jesus called the woman with the issue of blood to him, that she was came trembling in fear. She was afraid. She was healed. And such was the power of Christ that she was afraid because of the way she had come to Christ. And here we see Jairus is afraid, not because he's coming to Christ. He's afraid because of his situation and circumstances. And his faith, with the encouragement of Jesus, enabled him to believe that Jesus could still help his daughter. And literally, what the Lord said was, stop fearing, continue believing. So he was fearing and he was believing at the same time. So continue believing, but stop fearing. The fact that he came to Jesus showed he had faith. So, the two commands, be not afraid. It was said fear is something that all people have to deal with, whether we are Christians or whether we are unsaved. And fear comes in many different ways, like we said, and for many different reasons. And you know, there is one fear that is we are encouraged to have, and that is the fear of the Lord. Jesus actually said, fear God. Don't fear man. And the fear of man is something that none of us are immune from. Fear of man is a snare. This man knew, because he was so influential, that his coming to Jesus was a challenge to many. And it may have caused real issues and problems for him in the synagogue. So many are afraid of what problems coming to Christ may cause them at work or in the home, concerning what others will think about them if they come to Christ. And what Jesus is saying to this man, stop fearing and continue believing. And that's really for whatever situation we're in, whatever we're afraid of, and we do get afraid. Now, this is true, we do get afraid. Stop fearing and continue believing. And General Patton said, courage is holding fear back for that extra minute. Continuing with fear for that extra minute. Courage doesn't mean we're not afraid. Courage means we continue in the face of what's going on. So we need to start being concerned about God. The fear of man. Jairus knew whatever his reservations were. He had come to the point where he really just said, doesn't matter for man. He was not afraid of man. He was way past that. His need was far too great. Publicly, he fell before the Lord, casting himself on the Lord's mercy. We live in a world that's full of danger, and some people are paralysed by fear in their own homes. I knew when I was in London, I would go out on the estates and there was, you know, in the flats, cages on the doors, cages on the windows. And lovely people. And yet the reality was, it was a very dangerous place to live in. People were afraid for their families. People were afraid for their loved ones. Now, it seems that the world is out of control sometimes. We destroy the environment, we destroy each other, we invent horrific weapons and weapon systems that are mind-boggling in the power they have to cause destruction. Artificial intelligence, another thing, is really scary. But all these things have the propensity for good or for evil. And that's the way it is with everything. I just read today, yesterday I think it was, that now with artificial intelligence, scientists have discovered an antibiotic, various antibiotics, that are destroying previously unbeatable strains of infection. And this was artificial intelligence. But if not curtailed, it could cause loads of problems. There is a real danger. Man always, we push the boundaries for good and evil. We are to be stewards of the environment. But if we live for Christ, we will consider these things. And we don't need to be afraid of them, because we can pray. Only believe that God can make a difference. Only believe that you can make a difference through bringing these things to God. The greatest need, of course, is salvation and forgiveness of sins. That's the greatest need for anyone tonight. Salvation, forgiveness of sins. And the great need for this world has is for that. And for the love of Christ to be going out to people, loving Christ and loving others. Because many are afraid out there tonight. They won't admit it. Chris Rea sang a song. It's called The Road to Hell a few years ago. And the lyrics went, I'm standing by a river, but the water, it doesn't flow. It boils with every poison you can think of. I'm underneath the street light, and the light of joy I know. Scared beyond belief, way down in the shadow, a perverted fear of violence chokes a smile on every face. Common sense is ringing out the bells. This ain't no technological breakdown, oh no. This is the road to hell. And we live in a world that is cascading into a lost eternity. We're seeing so many things. And people are afraid. They're afraid of end times. They're afraid of nuclear war. They're afraid of the powers rising up against each other. But we can have the peace and assurance that comes from God. Where can we have that peace and reassurance? From the evil that surrounds us. And of course, it is in Christ and in his word. The word of God is full with wonderfully reassuring words. For the believer concerning fear, there are hundreds of fear nots for the believer. And I've often had to come to the Word of God. And one of the most beautiful scriptures that I've come face to face with is the very one I needed for that moment. Fear not. Fear not. God's got it. And I can assure you that these were some of the greatest words I've ever heard. The hymn writer wrote, for those who struggle with doubts and fears regarding their standing in the Lord, the land of Beulah, often hindered on my journey by the ghosts of doubts and fear. The Apostle Paul said, for even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted in every turn, fighting without and fear within. Yeah, the apostle was afraid. This was a man who had seen Christ, the glorified Christ, and he was afraid. The fear of sinfulness. Many people are afraid that they're just, well, you know, it's, the gospel's okay for you and you and you, but I mean, I can't see how it would possibly apply to me. The lie of Satan is that you are actually too sinful to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's okay for everybody else, but you, he will tell you. The Lord would not save you. He wouldn't want you. And of course, that's another lie. Salvation is for other people, not you. That's another lie. Jesus can save to the uttermost all that come to God through him. It is right that we should examine ourselves before we go to the Lord's table. But do not fear ever that your sins are too many to be forgiven, because that's a lie from the devil. Having your sins forgiven is not dependent on how many sins you have, but on whether or not you have decided to trust Jesus by his grace to forgive you your sins. Ask Christ to forgive them, because he will. He never drives anyone away. And that's the wonderful assurance we can have tonight, that Jesus does not tell lies. Don't be afraid. Be not afraid. Only believe. The fear that God might not be able to save you. Don't be afraid that God's mercy is not great enough to save you. That's a lie from the devil. God's mercy and grace is not limited by your sins and my sins. Jesus will never drive anyone away. Some are afraid that they will not be able to live as a Christian. Some are afraid that they will not live the Christian life. Yeah, I could never do that. This is a distortion of the devil as well. Because it is not you that will change yourself. It is God that will do the changing. And God will do the changing through his word and spirit. Having cleansed you with the blood of Jesus, he will then continue to work in your life as you allow the Spirit and the Word of God to dwell in you by faith. It's a lie of the devil to say that you won't be able to live the Christian life, because God will enable you and empower you. Because not only does he give you saving grace to save you, he gives you enabling grace, empowering grace to live the Christian life. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. We all know, if I know anything about myself, I certainly realise that I'm far from perfect. But I do have a perfect Saviour. God does the saving. Simply come to the Lord to change us, to help us. And that's his amazing grace, and that's the good news for you and I tonight. Whosoever will come to Jesus will be saved. Some are concerned about what others will think of them. Again, the Bible warns us about this type of fear. It's a snare. Whatever people think of us is not as important as what God thinks. And Satan is the author of fear. He kept people in bondage, the writer to the Hebrews said, through the fear of death. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, that is Jesus, that is God the Son, partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Now here we're told that fear is actually a tool of the devil. It's what he uses against humanity. And if he can get away with it, he will use it against the Christian. Death is alien to us. We recoil from it because it's unnatural. If it was natural, we wouldn't recoil from it. We wouldn't grieve. We wouldn't sorrow. But the devil has put people in through the fear of death and through the temptation of sin. We're all responsible for our own sin, as was Adam. But through the lifelong slavery of sin and the fear of death, That's the legacy that the devil has given us. But life and life to the full is what the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us, because all power in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Jesus has given us power over death in him, power over sin in him, and power over Satan in him. Because the final word is not death, it's life. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. Our hope, your hope tonight, is not in a doctrine, although you certainly must believe. It's in a person. And that person suffered death, and he defeated death, and he rose from the dead. The final word is life. Be not afraid. Fear not. The word of God is like a treasure trove for the believer concerning fear. Now, Jesus certainly met fear in many people in his ministry. While others were saying, don't bother the Lord anymore, Jesus was listening. Because all the naysayers, Jesus ignored them, but he listened to the cry of a desperate man. And that's the wonderful thing for us to take away tonight, that Jesus hears the cry of your heart, of my heart. And no matter what voices are trying to silence the cry of your heart, Jesus will ignore that voices. Even if you can't ignore them, he will ignore them, and he will listen to your voice. Jesus was listening while it seemed he had not heard. And sometimes it seems like the Lord has not heard. But that's not true, because the Lord has heard. And he will answer every prayer of the believer. But we don't know how he will answer it. But he will answer it. But he will answer it in a way that will be honouring to himself, and in a way that will be what his will is. We don't know, but he will answer every prayer. And belief tells you, and the devil tells you, don't bother praying anymore. It's no use anyway. The Lord has better things. What do you think that problem you've got is all that important? That's nonsense. God doesn't want you. But God says in his word, let us then approach the throne of grace. And you'll see that it's a throne of grace. It's a throne where favour is given, where we are given undeserved kindness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace. Now, mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. And it will be grace to help us in the time of need. Exactly what you need, it will be in the time of need. God will give it to you. We can approach God reverently and confidently, because he is our Father in Jesus. And here we see the tenderness of Jesus in dealing with Jairus in his distress, in his time of need, and certainly in his time of fear of the death of his little girl, his only daughter, we are told. Now, all children are precious, but this was the only girl. His fear was great. Jesus told him, be not afraid, only believe. And friends, that was a wonderful, tender word of encouragement for a desperate, distressed, distraught man. And tonight, we can apply that to our own situation, and we can certainly apply it to our eternal situation. Believe that Jesus has conquered death for us. Believe that he's taken care of your sins on the cross. Believe that he rose from the dead for your justification. And here Jairus was being told that Jesus could raise the dead, because his child was in fact dead. So fear, second is faith. We looked at the reassurance of Christ in dealing with fear, and now he deals with faith. Only believe. These are the most encouraging words, because you know why? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Isn't that a marvellously simple thing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Only believe these words, Jesus is saying. And it encourages us to trust Jesus for whatever we are dealing with. We don't know, like we say, how he will answer us, but he tells us, don't be afraid, only believe. David was a tough guy, a real tough guy. He took on Goliath, but he was a man of faith. He was a boy, and he took his sling, and he said to Goliath that he came against him in the name of the Lord God of hosts, because David had faith. And yet, David said, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. And you see, the answer to his fear was that he would trust God. And that's what Jesus is saying to us, only believe. What a comfort that God is telling us, I've got this, trust me. Of course, as we only believe, we also turn to God and turn from sin. As we turn to Christ, we turn from sin. As we believe we are truly forgiven, we believe God is working out our circumstances. We can trust him with the details. But it is the bit that the flesh and the devil try and attack you with when it's difficult. The details. The devil is in the details, someone said. I can't remember. And the devil will certainly attack you on the detail of things. He'll try and tell you lies. He'll try and discourage you and knock you down when things seem to be converse to what we're praying about. But we don't need to try and twist God's arm to get salvation. We don't need to do some great thing in order to be saved. Faith is all that is necessary. And one of the great things about our faith, we believe it's, you know, grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. And people sometimes try to say that the Bible doesn't say faith alone. Well, you know, it certainly says it here, and explicitly so. I know it's an application to the raising of a child from the dead. But only believe tells me that faith alone is what is required. In Christ alone, only believe. The teaching of Scripture, by grace you are saved through faith, not by works. It's a wonderful comfort for us here tonight. And who said, only believe? Jesus did. This is the word of God. Only believe. Christ alone is the Saviour. He is the only way to God. He's the only way, so, and only believe. One way, Jesus. And this opens the door to anyone who will believe. And what a wonderful promise we're given. Whosoever will, let him come. Now, a whole heap of us would be excluded if it required some kind of qualification to enter the kingdom. If we had to somehow produce some qualifications and certificate, or if we had to produce millions of pounds or dollars, you know, that would just, we'd all be excluded, you know. But God doesn't ask for that. He just says, I sent Jesus to die for you. And if you will believe in him, you will be saved. Believe that Jesus will save you when you call upon him. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, this is the word of God. All who call on the word of God. Not most of the people, or 99.9%, or some of them. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And of course, that means a proper calling. It doesn't mean a contemptuous calling or a lack of faith calling. It means a true calling in spirit and in truth. Martin Luther was gloriously transformed by this great truth. He thought he had to do things. You know, the church of his day, it was penance and various things. And he discovered this wonderful thing in the Word of God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That is, he discovered that by only believing, he was declared righteous in the sight of God. Not only were his sins forgiven. See, if only our sins were forgiven, we'd be in a state of innocence. But God goes further than that. Not only does God forgive our sins and declare us not guilty, he then says you're righteous as well. He declares you righteous. So we perhaps don't feel very righteous. But the truth is, in Christ, you are made the righteousness of God. And that, dear friends, is mind-boggling. And it's wonderful news for poor sinners like you and I here tonight. Luther, the glorious truth changed Martin Luther's heart, and we had the Reformation. Salvation in Christ, his person and work, only believe. When we talk about the cross of Christ, we're not talking about a bit of wood or a symbol or what. We're actually, Christ is a person, and the cross speaks about his work. So when we talk about the cross of Christ, it's talking about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ, Paul said to the Galatians. This is your hope today, the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And, you know, as we believe that God loves us, believe that he sent Jesus to die for you. Believe that although your sins be as scarlet, that he can wash them white as snow. Believe that Jesus is alive forevermore. Believe that he's ascended in glory at the right hand. Believe that he commands you and I to come to the table, because he does. Believe that as you and I come to the table, it is the table that the Lord has spread for you. And believe that he wants fellowship with you. Believe that his blood cleanses you from all sin. He has furnished it in the presence of our foes, in the presence of all the naysayers, the accusers of the principalities and the powers. Christ has spread the table to remind us as a memorial of what he has done on the cross. And as we partake of the bread and wine, we receive it by faith with the blessing of the Word of God. These spiritual forces of evil that can rage against us, and they rage against the Lord, you don't have to jump through hoops to be right with God. Take comfort tonight, friends, that in Christ you are forgiven, you are righteous, you have a glorious future because you've only believed, and you have no need to be afraid. Jairus had no need to be afraid because Jesus came and he spoke, and the power of his word was, Talitha cum, little girl, get up. And there she did, she got up. And his word is the same, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That word's powerful because it's true. And as you do believe, you are saved. Be not afraid, only believe. So we have tonight, friends, the assurance that God conquers our fears. We have the assurance that by grace through faith, we are saved. So may the Lord bless his word to us.